Well, I am excited today to be able to share with you this new series we're starting called Summer of Miracles, or Summer of Miracles here at Eastside. And we're believing God for more in your life, that God wants to do more in you. In fact, as I was preparing this and seeking the Lord, I'm believing this could be, for each and every one of you, your most fruitful summer ever. You know, sometimes we look at vacation time as a time just to kind of like unplug, disconnect, and I believe we should do all of that stuff. I believe that we should get rest when it's time to get rest. But as well, I believe that God's saying, you know what, in the midst of that, I want to produce even greater fruit in your life. I want to do more things through you. I want to use you to be life and light to the world around you. Hallelujah. You see, I'm excited about this series because I believe it's going to remind us that we serve a miracle-working God. Come on, I want to say that again. We serve a miracle-working God. And I declare that miracles happen and still happen today. And I also have this belief that each one of us in our lives could use a miracle in some form or another. Could you use a miracle? Could you use some miracles in your life? Do you know people that need a miracle? I do. According to the ATS Bible Dictionary, a miracle is a wonder or a wonderful thing. Specifically, an event or effect contrary to the established constitution and course of things, or a deviation from the known laws of nature, a supernatural event, or one transcending the ordinary laws of the universe by which one is governed. I believe that we do have miracles that happen each and every day. I know for myself, growing up, I saw miracles in my life, like a teacher calling in sick on exam day. When you didn't study the night before. Maybe you've experienced this when your car not running out of gas on your way to work, when you should have filled it up 2 days before. How about somebody unexpectedly dropping $20 in our hand when we forgot our lunch or need a few groceries? You see, miracles can be big, they can be small, they can be in so many different things. It can be a relationship restored, a healing, a health restored, or even hope restored. Sometimes the miracles that God just wants to put hope back in our hearts. You see, the list could go on and on, but whether they are big or small, they touch our lives in special ways that should remind us that we serve a God that is looking out for us. And I want to tell you, we serve a God who's looking out for us. As I was growing up, one of the activities my sister and I did with my dad was that we'd join him while he would go fishing, and specifically fishing for steelhead, the king of trout. And I say join him because while he fished, we scurried around the bank playing hide and seek, throwing rocks in the river, scaring the fish, throwing rocks at each other, and after 30 or 60 minutes of whining for extra snacks or wanting to go home, that was our day. Typical kid stuff. But as I grew a bit older, I began to become more interested in fishing. And after a few trips of begging my dad to teach me how to fish, he finally relented and rigged me a pole. And to be fair, so that you do not think that my dad was heartless and he didn't want to teach his son how to fish, the reason that he did not immediately stop what he was doing and teaching is that I had asked him, after I'd become bored with the distractions and the being distracted with the wildlife, and he was in the middle of the river in his hip waders with his line in the water. That's going to be like, hey, Dad, I want to try that. Now, because it was my first time fishing, instead of baiting my hook with cured eggs, the bait of choice, he attached a piece of fluorescent yellow yarn and placed me in a safe spot on the shore. And as I made my first cast upstream, we were drift fishermen. My dad never liked fly fishing, for those who do it. Bless your hearts. And I missed the spot I was trying to cast, and my line became hung up on a rock in the middle of the rapids. And as I moved to unsnag my line, a miracle happened. An 11-pound steelhead grabbed my hook and jumped into the air. Within moments, every fisherman in the area began to yell, "Fish on," while my dad grabbed me and began walking me down the bank while I tried to reel in the fish. Well, after 30 minutes or so, an out-of-breath dad, an excited son, and an exhausted fish were all on shore. It was a miracle. See, it reminds me of a miracle story in the Bible. And this is an even bigger fish story. In John chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, we see this story, and it says, "Later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee." This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, and Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in a boat, but they caught nothing all night. Have you ever been on a fishing trip where you didn't catch anything? In fact, if you're a real fisherman, you have to have a few of those days as well, where the only things you catch are some Z's, or maybe a cold. You know, those are the only things that you come home with. And at dawn, it says that Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. See, the Bible says that Peter and some of the other disciples had fished all night but had not caught anything. I believe that, as I already said, if you fish more than a few times, it happens. And this was the plight of the disciples' fishing expedition. And as Jesus was walking along the beach, he already knew, I believe, the answer to the question he asked, and he said, "Have you caught any fish?" He could have just as well asked, "How is your life going? Is anything important happening in your world right now?" And of course, their answer was nothing, zero, nada. "We've caught nothing, and we're not even sure why we're out here." And then from the safety and the comfort of the shore, he says, "Hey, put out your nets again," or "put out your nets one more time" would be a great way to say this. And I'm sure they were thrilled with that idea after they had just fished all night. Now, the Bible says that they did put their nets out again, but this time as they began to pull their nets into the boat, they were so full of fish they could not pull them in without help. It was a miracle catch. Now, there's so much to unpack in this story, and that's what I'm going to do here today. First of all, let's create the setting. Let's understand what is going on at this time. You see, you have to understand that before this story came out, this miracle story, Jesus had been publicly humiliated, crucified on the cross, risen from the dead, and was now visiting people, especially his disciples. And when Jesus went to the cross, his loyal followers, scared and confused, scattered like cockroaches at a laser light show. They scurried up. They were afraid of getting in trouble. They were afraid of even being associated with him. And I believe it's the reason that some of the disciples had returned to fishing. You see, if we remember the story of when the disciples were called in the Bible, one of the first disciples that he called were Peter and John and his brothers and James, and he told them they were going to be fishers of men. And yet here they were. They were back out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. I believe this, that with their leader gone, I believe they had become disillusioned with their calling and went back to what they'd already known. But here's the problem. It was not where they were supposed to be. And I believe they didn't catch anything because they were not where they were intended to be. And instead of being fishers of men and making disciples as they'd been instructed, they return home to make sense of their future. Because here's what we have to understand, and this is what I want to focus on today. Disappointment can lead us to unfruitful places. When we stop pressing into God's plan for our lives because of disappointment and hurt, it leads us to places of stagnation and unfruitfulness. When things stop moving, they either freeze up or stink up. Just the other day, about a month and a half ago, I bought some outdoor planters for my wife this spring, but did not open the drain holes on the bottom of the said planters. We put in the dirt, the fertilizer, even the plants with some water in the container, but nothing was growing or it wasn't growing very well. And here's what happened. I thought it smelled a bit off before I opened one of the drain holes. And once I drilled through the plastic, it was the most disgusting smell seeped out with sewage that poured out with it. It was awful. It was so stinky. It was that kind where you're just like, And after I did the first one, I still had two more to go. When things in our lives get stuck up or plugged up, stinky stagnation happens. You see, we were designed by God to press forward in our lives regardless of the challenges we experience. How do I know this? Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14 says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us." We all face challenges. I don't want to minimize that. And they are real, and sometimes they slow us down, but I want you to hear this. However, they're never meant to stop us. They're never meant to keep us from moving forward. We were never meant to be stuck in one place because things were difficult or we faced some difficulty or even tragedy. That wasn't meant to stop us. We were never meant to stop believing and to find healing, but it's up to us to go for that. Now, I know I just said that disappointment can lead us to unfruitful places. Disappointment can also push us to fruitful places. Okay, Pastor Todd, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth here. I believe this, that disappointment can push us to move at times in new directions. When one door closes, another door opens. Have you ever lost a job that you're like, oh, that was horrible, but then the next job you got was like, that was the best job ever? It happens. Ever faced a tragedy, but found an unexpected blessing in the middle of it? Ever been glad that God had closed some doors in your life, only to open new doors of opportunity in another place that you didn't see or you wouldn't maybe have been willing to see? You see, sometimes we face things, and it's not because God wants us to punish us or hurt us. That's not what it's about at all. But things happen in our lives, and if we allow God to use them, they move us into something that God wants to move us into. Disappointment can remind us of our need of God, remind us that our plans, our desires, our strengths are dependent upon Him. We will either see God as our source of hope or our source of discouragement. I'm going to say that again. In your life, you will either see God as your source of hope when you face difficulty or your source of discouragement. And at some point in our lives, we will either continue to believe God or we will blame God. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But here's what the Bible says. After fishing all night, Jesus asked them to cast their nets again, and they cast their nets again, and they received a great harvest. Now, Jesus was not a fisherman, and he was asking them to do two different difficult things. First, cast their net again, because they'd fished all night. I've shared this a little bit. And because of their fatigue and their work that they'd done, I believe they would have had some unbelief. It would have been very difficult for them to try it again. And I don't know if you've ever been around fishing, but even commercial fishing. Anybody ever watch like The Deadliest Catch? Or there's so many of these shows that are out there now. It used to be one of my favorites. But you know, when you have to put nets out, it takes a little bit of work. It's not an easy thing. And they would have needed to had to find the need to want to do more work. And it's hard to keep the want to going in your life when you believe for something for an extended period of time without the desired of results. It's hard to keep believing and going back and saying, you know what, I think this time it's going to be different. You know, just like they had fished all night and they're like, we put those nets out, we didn't get anything. Why is it going to be different this time? Sometimes in our own lives when it comes to prayers that we give, things that we're asking God for, and we don't see the change or the result, it's hard sometimes to keep doing it again. But yet, he says, cast your nets again. And then he says, cast your nets on the right side of the boat. Well, I did a little bit of study. It was the opposite side of where they usually worked. So not only were they asked to do something again, they were asked to do something that went against the normal fishing process. Would have required a willingness and a humility to respond to those directions. But the Bible says that they did. And the catch was so big that they couldn't contain it. Here's the question, what is your net? I believe your net is your dream. What are the dreams that God has put in your heart? What are the things that you're believing for? What are the things that you are asking God for? When you have a dream and you begin to declare it and you begin to believe for it and you put it out, it's like putting out a net. You see, I believe this, you will catch what you are willing to believe for in due season. But in order to do so, you must continue to believe or dare to dream again. Now I'm going to get really real here for a few moments. It's been said that one of the greatest heartaches a person faces is unfulfilled expectations. Most relationships break down, not because of all the things that people do or don't do, even though it is that way. It's because of unfulfilled expectations. I thought this is what it was going to be like, or I hoped it was going to be like this, or I wanted this kind of a marriage, or this kind of a friendship, or I wanted God to do this for me. And when those things don't happen, it's very difficult for us. Promises that go unfulfilled, prayers that go unanswered, or seemingly unanswered, a change that never occurs, a result that fails to happen, a hope that remains unrealized. See, when you've claimed a promise, believed for a change, or had a deep dream in your heart, only year after year to observe little or no change, it can be difficult and disappointing. Would you agree with me? Maybe you've even had a prophetic word or prophetic words that not only have not come to pass, but it seems like your life has moved in the complete opposite direction. And this is how real I'm going to get today. It's sometimes hard to have faith in people, let alone the God of the universe, when you feel let down. And left in isolation, it can beat down our faith. And we never want to admit that as a believer. It's not something you're going to, hey, let's just go talk about this. But I know, because I know where I've been, even in my own heart, it's like, well, I really could never share this. But sometimes, God, I'm just not 100% sure. Proverbs 13:12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. One of the challenges I've faced over the years is the difference between the dream in my heart and the reality of my life. The life I thought I would be living and the life that I am living are two different things. Not that I have a bad life, I want to say that, but It's much different than I thought it would be. Anybody else can relate to that? That where you're living right now in your life is different than maybe you thought it would be 10 or 15 or 20 years ago? Now, life, I said, is good, but I had bigger plans and larger dreams. I thought I would have a side business, and I'm going to talk personally here, that would make me independently wealthy with enough finances to retire at an early age if I so desired. I thought that's where I would be. Obviously, I'm not there yet. I believed I'd pastor a church that had multiple locations with a pastoral team of 20 leaders where every Sunday the altars would just be full of people surrendering to Jesus. I thought I'd get to a place where it'd be like fish jumping into the boat. I don't know if you've ever seen some of those videos where that happens. And it has even been prophesied many times. I've believed for almost 30 years that our youth and our adult worship teams would produce worship leaders and music that would go around the world. Well, half of that vision has been fulfilled. Here's a crazy one that you probably don't know. I dreamed of having a church with its own athletic complex that would bless the community and reach families. Listen to this. In athletics, by sending out athletic mission teams and offering worship gatherings and meetings in the complex. Here's the craziest one. Mostly I've thought after 30 years of marriage and ministry, it would just be easier. And that I'd have it all figured out. But I don't. And here's what I want to tell you today, what I've learned. In moments, things are hard to reconcile, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay. I've learned it's okay to struggle with things you don't understand. It's okay to bring your disappointments, your discouragements, your expectations, and your questions to God. Why? Because He can handle it. And if you don't believe me, just go read some Psalms this week. The things that King David and others shared with God. There are some pretty real discussions that were going on there. It's okay to be honest and real about your disappointments if you remember to tell yourself that God loves you, He cares about you, and He's working out His good purposes in you through all situations. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. See, even though not everything in my life that I've dreamed about has happened yet as I believed it would, I am a blessed man. And even though I'm not where I thought I would be, I'm in a good place. Because I'm alive and there's still breath in my lungs. And I will continue to believe for all those things I shared with you till my last day. So what am I saying today? God's asking you, He's asking me, He's asking us, cast your net again. Continue to keep casting your net again. Believe again. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He is a rewards those who sincerely seek Him. God says, continue to seek me. I reward those who seek me. Be willing to dream again. Allow Jesus to heal your hurt. Let go of your disappointment. Can I share this with you? You cannot hold on to hope and disappointment at the same time. There's only room for one in your heart. Because here's what happens, and I know Pastor Peter preached in our last series just about who Jesus is or who is Jesus to you. Unresolved disappointment leads to disillusionment, and unresolved disillusionment leads to denial. A denial of faith, a denial of God, a denial that He's good, a denial that He's great. And I'm here to tell you that you serve a good God, a great God, an amazing God, a dream-fulfilling God, a dream-inspiring God, a dream God that wants to do those things that you've put in your heart and you're believing for. It's a new day. Your miracle is waiting for you, but you have to continue to believe. Here's the second thing. So believe again. Third thing, we got to humble our hearts. What do I mean by that? Be willing to admit that you do not know what you do not know. You're looking over here while God is working over there sometimes. The answer you get to your prayers or your requests may be different than what you thought it would be. When we dream again, we need to open our eyes or ask, when we dream again, we need to ask God to open our eyes and open our hearts to be able to see how he's working around us in mysterious ways. Be open to God changing the direction and the orientation of your dream. Here's what I'm going to tell you about this. I had a dream that I was going to be a high school teacher and a coach, but ended up being a pastor who's a Bible teacher, a Bible preacher, a Jesus follower, a coach, and some sports as well. It wasn't what I thought I'd be, but it's over here doing what he told me I would be doing. I still remember a prophetic word my wife and I got many years ago. They told us when we, before we, I think our kids were really little, that we would work with little people for short seasons. We got that word and we're like, where are we going on missions? Who has little people? Not going to name any nations. Can I tell you how that dream was fulfilled? When my son was in T-ball and coach pitch, we worked with little people for 2 months at a time. God used us to touch families and people. See, what we think we know, we don't always know. Humble your hearts and trust Jesus again. And here's the last thing and where we're going to finish. And if I can have the keyboard player come up. See and declare his goodness. Be thankful for what you have been given. Learn to find thankfulness in every part of your life. Can I tell you that this is a lost art? Sometimes because we live in one of, if not the greatest nations of the world, we begin to just get an attitude of complaining and complacency. Or even worse yet, I call it an attitude of entitlement. We're entitled to comfort. We're entitled to ease. We're entitled to benefits with little or no responsibility. And the problem if we fall into this trap is I call it, you know, you heard the commercial where there's nose blindness? I call it creates gratitude blindness. We forget to see all of the blessings around us. I woke up today. It's a beautiful day. I get to come to a church with beautiful people. I got to see my dog, my kids. God is good. And my wife. I don't think this is going to age well. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I just believe today God wants you just to take a moment and think about what are some of the dreams he's put in your heart. What are things that you're believing for or you've believed for in the past? Can we in this moment just begin to say, God, I'm casting my net out there again. I'm gonna throw my net out there again. Lord, lead me, guide me. God, I don't see everything. I don't know everything. And maybe for some of you today, you haven't been casting your net because of the hurts and the disappointments. You don't want to be let down again. I get it. Sometimes it's just easier. It's just easier just to be like, yeah, I'm a little disappointed right now, but it doesn't hurt as much as when I start to believe or hope for something again, and I just get disappointed again. God's saying, let me infuse you with faith. Cast that net again. Cast that net again. Throw that net out there again. Let me heal your heart. Maybe you need God to heal your heart today. Maybe you need God to touch an area in your life. Maybe you're struggling between trusting God and blaming God. You know, nobody wants to admit it, but we've probably all been there. God wants to heal you. Can we all just stand up together right now? I just want to take a moment. And if God's speaking to you today about casting, believing again, trusting again, and there's something you know God is speaking to you specifically about, I just like to invite you to come forward. I just want to pray with you, or have some of our leaders just pray quickly before we end this service, because I believe God wants to do some things. I believe God wants to restore some faith in this place today. Some of you, God wants to heal some things in your heart. I listed a bunch of things, but it all is around being willing to cast your net again. If God is speaking to you, would you just come forward here? Because God wants to do a miracle in your life. God wants to do a miracle through you. God wants to change your circumstances and your situation, but it's going to start by you saying, Father, I'm willing to step back into this, even though it's scary, it's risky. It's a risky thing, guys, to believe, to dream. And I just declare today, Lord, that you would just touch hearts. You would just touch lives. Lord, you see all the dreams that are represented here, God. And for some people today, this is such a big step. They're like, I swore I'll never believe for this again. And God's saying, trust me. You're going to cast your net. It's going to go on the other side. The other side. The other side. God, would you just continue to do your work? There's more room for if anybody else wants to join. I just believe God is healing. I believe God is restoring. I believe God is moving here today. Thank you, Jesus Christ.